Good morning. Let's get out our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Matthew chapter 2. The title of my message is Wise Men Come to Jesus, Matthew 2. Well, how many of you are done with your Christmas shopping? Raise your hands. Congratulations. How many of you aren't done with your Christmas shopping? Raise your hands. Congratulations to you as well. There is a crowd that awaits you, obviously. Some here by the attendance not done with their Christmas festivities. But for those of you that are here, we are thankful that you're here. And we look forward to just spending this time in the Word together. And really, that's what Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus, and we want to spend some time this morning with Him. And reflect and just appreciate the gift that we have received in Him. And so, Matthew's Gospel chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. And so let's begin reading. Hopefully you got your Bibles, open them to Matthew 2 there, and let's begin reading. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." The wise men, as the bumper sticker goes, is the saying from years ago, wise men still seek him. And we look at the story this morning of these wise men, and they're seeking and searching for Christ. Sadly, that's not always the case for many. In fact, Paul writes, when it comes to men that are wise in worldly wisdom and knowledge, well, he says, "Not many wise men by human standards, not many who were influential, not many noble have been chosen by God to know Christ." That's a true observation. There is a way that seems right to a man. There is the wisdom of this world that often is in opposition to the wisdom of God. And yet, here, as we read in our story this morning, there are some wise men. Wise men who sought out and searched for God. And guess what? They found Him. You see, these wise men, I have told you before, they were not like the traditional concept. Now, I'm going to do something for you this morning that may trouble some of you. I'm going to blow your nativity scene out of the water. Wow, Pastor, it's Christmas. Can't you leave it intact? Well, I'm just going to give you some accurate information. Because traditionally, you know, the picture goes, these wise men, of course, were, you know, they, in fact, because of the layers of tradition, they've even been given names. The names like Caspar and Belshazzar and Melchor. Those are the names of the wise men that they have been given. And of course, the story goes, I get the Christmas cards and I'm not opposed. I realize that's the way it is. They ride camels, these wise men. And they wear different colors as they arrive at the stable and they show up there at the birth of Jesus and they bring him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bring him these gifts right there to baby Jesus. Well, that's not exactly what the Bible teaches. You see, let's fix up and put things into perspective biblically. These wise men are called magi. A magi, well, that's a word that obviously our English word magician comes from that word. These were men who consulted the stars. They were experts in astronomy and astrology. They would be used by the leaders, by the pharaohs and kings frequently to provide guidance. You remember with Daniel, he set out, the king set out to the astronomers, to the magi, to the astrologers, these wise men, to find out what his dreams meant. You see, in contrast to the priests and the prophets, the magi used sorcery. They used wizardry. They used witchcraft. And because of their combined knowledge of science, mathematics, history, and the occult, their religious and political influence continued to grow until they became some of the most prominent, powerful people in the Medo-Persian and Babylonian empire in the day. And because of their prestigious positions, they would have been royal in appearance. Their typical costume would have included, now let me blow your nativity scene out, long cone type headgear. Because the first cone heads, really, the originals. But that's the kind that you associate with wizards, those long cone heads. And they would have been riding most likely Persian steeds or Arabian horses, not camels. Sorry. They were most likely traveling with a small army, a few secret service to say the least. And that would have clearly created a scene which we get from our story here. When Herod sees these guys, he's troubled. And he's the kind of guy that when he's troubled, he makes sure everybody else feels the same anxiety and frustration. So their arrival on the scene creates quite a stir. And one final blow to the whole wise men nativity scene scenario, they came after Jesus was born in the manger. Not the very night that Jesus was born. You say, well, Pastor, now how do you know that? Well, look at verse 11 of chapter 2 there with me. And when they had come, excuse me, into the house, does it say house or manger in your Bible? It says house, doesn't it? Guess what? Not the manger. He was living in a house by that time. They saw the young child. Doesn't say baby there, does it? No, by this time, he is a young child. And there it is that they see Mary, his mother, and they fall down and worship him. Now, those mysterious wise men, these guys knew something that Herod would never know. And that is that this little boy in this tiny house would someday rule the world. They were not ashamed to give him gifts fitting for a king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And a special note about these gifts, they were not wrapped in wrapping paper. Why is that, you might ask? Well, because the ones giving these gifts had two important characteristics. Number one, they were wise. Number two, they were men. You ladies know this. Men don't like to wrap gifts, do we? No, we don't. Something about wrapping gifts and men don't go together. I mean, when I go into the store to buy a gift, I say, will you wrap this for me? And, you know, and if a guy has to wrap a gift, and I have a few left that I have to do that, then you know what? It's not going to be this thing. I'll wrap it, you know, to the best of my ability and try and put the folds on the right thing to make it look presentable. But man, I can't ever remember a time where I got to get some ribbon and. I've never wrapped a gift where you like put ribbon around it. I got one of those stick-on bows you stick on and then they fall off. You know those? I get those. But like gift wrapping, I don't think is the forte of most men. Now there may be a few of you out there, but you don't raise your hands and tell us who you are, okay? Because we'll bring our gifts to you then. I wonder what the first Christmas would have been like had the wise women come from the East instead of wise men. I think, first of all, they would have asked for directions and made it to Bethlehem on time. I think, secondly, that probably helped with delivery, clean up in the stable, and made a decent meal and brought some practical gifts. But it was men. And men of wealth. Men of influence. Men of power. They were at the top of the economic scale financially. But you know what? As we open up our text here this morning, we see that they're searching. Like the rich young ruler. You think this guy has everything that people are looking for. He's young, youth, he's rich, wealthy, and he's in a position of power and authority. What more could a guy want? Man, that's what the goal, the American dream is all about, isn't it? Got all of that, man. Rich, young, and wealthy. And yet, he was empty. And he came to Jesus and he looked at Jesus and he said, what must I do to have eternal life? These men were powerful, influential. And we get most of our background about them from the song, We Three Kings of Orient Are. And you know the rest of it, right? Bearing gifts, we travel, you know. But they weren't kings. They were wizards. They weren't three necessarily. Because of the three gifts, we think there were only three. There could have been more, scholars say. And they weren't from the Orient, by the way. They were probably from Persia. They'd never been to China. They were probably from Persia, which is modern day Iran, or, you know, Turkey, Babylon, and modern day Turkey. So that's where they had arrived on the scene from. Bringing their gifts, wise, powerful, influential men, but empty inside, who somehow or another, we're not sure how, we're not sure where or when, they recognized that a king was going to be born in Jerusalem. The king of the Jews, rather, was going to be born. They didn't know where. And so here's a king of the Jews going to be born. Now, they had seen his star once they gained some information, but as far as they're getting the first, you know, insight into the thing, we're not sure where they heard about it. But they knew that something was going on, and so these three wise men, you see, finding Jesus and worshiping him, having the true joy and peace of the Christmas experience. You see, what was it about these men that brought that into their life personally? Because I think that you want that joy as well. You want that peace. There are some of you that have come in here today and you've got, in fact, Christmas is kind of boring for you. Because when the kids ask you, hey, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? You go, I got everything I want that you could afford anyhow. What do you need? I can't think of a thing I need. And so you look around and you're trying to buy gifts for others and you're finding yourself struggling. Well, what do they need? What do they need? I mean, what do they want? What would they like? And the battle and the struggle to get something, you see, that is going to be meaningful, that is going to bless them, is going to last more than Christmas Day. You see, we find increasingly, well, we struggle with the beauty and the peace and the reality of what Christmas is all about. You see, because it's really all about the worship of the greatest gift, the Son of God who was given for our sin. God so loved the world that He gave the greatest gift, His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. These men found that peace. They found that answer to the deadness and the emptiness and the boredom that plagued their life in their place of power and influence and position. What was it that led them to that? What qualities marked these men? What was the necessity for them to discover? The necessity that led to the discovery of Christ. Well, I think first of all, when we look at this situation, we see that they were wise enough that they were willing to leave familiar and comfortable location. You see, they hear about, or some way they discover that a king is to be born, and a king of the Jews. And so what do? They leave their place, their natural, their normal surroundings and the community and the comfort. And they venture out on a journey and they go to Jerusalem. They go to Jerusalem. And there they go to Herod. And go into the man who is presently in the position of king and authority. And they ask him, hey, we hear there's a king born. Now, I don't think it ever occurred, a king of the Jews being born. I don't think it ever occurred to them to be, you know, careful about that. Because they probably thought, well, Herod, even though his reputation was horrible, they probably didn't know it. Very well, you see, personally, since they were not from that community, they made that journey to ask Herod about where this king would be born, this king of the Jews. Now, they didn't know his insecurity and his perversity and how that would just gall him and get to him. Competition. Another king. It bothered Herod. But you see, these guys were willing to go, and they went to the place of government, you see, into the palace. And they asked the present king, hey, this king of the Jews, where is he going to be born? You see, if we're going to find Jesus, we've got to move out of this place of comfort and convenience and familiarity and say, okay, I want to know the truth. I want to know about Jesus. I'm willing to make a change. I'm willing to make a step. I'm willing to look into it. So many times people just go, well, you know, somebody told me once that there's a bunch of contradictions in the Bible. They told me this and they told me that and they told me this. And my grandma, you know, told me that and grandpa told me this. And they were Christians. And so, you know what? But I don't know what I believe and where I believe. And I don't know and I don't care. And I don't, why am he and you as he and you are me and goo 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 joop. And we go through the whole thing, you know. And it's just, we're all together in peace and, you know. I'm comfortable. I'm casual. Yes, I'm carnal. You see, and we're not willing to move. These guys were willing to move. They were empty, dead inside. They recognized that something was missing. And they were willing to get up some energy and to look into it and move out of that place of complacency. How about you this morning? Are you willing? Are you willing to move? Are you willing to change? You see, these guys were wise in that they were willing to change locations. And not only that, secondly, they were wise enough to listen to and to seek out true information. Not only change location, but seek out information. They were wise enough to learn from others, even though there was little information to be had, at least initially from others. From their people, from their leaders, they didn't know anything. So they journeyed, you see, to go see this king of the Jews, Herod, to see if he knew anything. Now these guys, listen, you gotta look at them for what they are. I mean, in their own country, in their community, they were the men of position and authority. They were the counselors. They were the ones to whom everybody came if they wanted any wisdom or insight. Hence the word magi, wise men. You see, if people had a situation like with Daniel, when, you know, the king wanted to find out what his dream was all about, the king would say, excuse me, call the magi in, call the wise guys in, and we'll bring them in. And so he began to say, here's my dream, here's the situation. Or he'd say, okay, since you guys are wise, you tell me my dream, you tell me the situation. And they sought counsel from them. They were the leaders, the authorities, the philosophers, the scientists. Those of prestige and prominence. And yet, here we see them looking and searching out for wisdom, instruction, direction. We see those that were teachers, you see, teachable here in this capacity, demonstrating a humility, not being hindered by pride and arrogance. And when they asked in the palace where this Jesus was to be born, we read that the religious, those in the temple were sent for. And the Pharisees and the leaders, the teachers of the law, open up the scriptures. And it's interesting, they've got the right information. Here's the people who claim to worship God and know God, and they're asked, hey, where's Messiah going to be born? Where's this King of the Jews going to be born? And it's not like they go, gee, I don't know my Bible. I never read this, but I don't know. It's like they go, the Pharisees come in and go, well, we're glad you sent for us teachers of the law, because you political people can't do anything about anything, but we know. And they say, excuse me, let's get the scriptures out and tell you where he's going to be born. It says in Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. That's where Messiah will be born, in Bethlehem. Now, these wise men, when they heard the scriptures, when they were opened up to them and learned that Christ was to be born in Bethlehem, they were wise. They acted on that information. You see, the religious leaders, guess what? They had the right information, but there was no activation or application of that information. Oh yes, here's the information. Let me lay out to you the biblical passages. Let me tell you what the Bible says. What are you guys going to do? Nothing. But we know what it says, so that makes us godly, doesn't it? No. No, it doesn't. You can know what the Bible says, and if you're not living it out, you can have all kinds of biblical information and insight, And if it's not being lived out by application in your life, then what good is it? It brings greater condemnation and judgment is all it does. You see, these wise men exercised a wisdom that was greater than those that were caught up in their religion. Even though these wise men were raised in a place that was a heathen, even though they were sorcerers and wizards, the psychics, if you would, of the day, guess what? They were out on a search, and when they got the information, man, they didn't just listen. They said, we need to do something. We need to seek out this information and find out what's going on. Following that instruction. These teachers of the law, I think these wise men noticed that they were simply religious, unspiritual, unworthy men. Now you can spot somebody frequently that is not sincere, that is one who just has and lays out all the right answers but can analyze things biblically, but really has no heart or passion or compassion on people, you see. These wise men, their questions, sincere. And so they were out to look and search for the truth. And they were able to learn. They were still teachable and able to learn from the Bible. Are you wise enough today to find Jesus in the Bible? Are you willing to leave your comfort zone and gather the right information and get the answers and then say, okay, here's what the Bible says? Or do you just keep going, well, if you could just answer this one question. How many times I've witnessed to somebody say, if you could just answer this one question for me, then. And so I say, okay, what's the question? They go, this. I go, here's what the Bible says. Okay. So, that's the answer. So now you're ready to pray? No. I got one more question. Okay, go ahead, shoot. And then you answer that question. And you go, so is that what the Bible says? They go, yeah, they agree. And you say, so what do you, does that take care of it? Yeah, but. And they got yeah, but syndrome. It's always yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. You know, there are a lot of people that aren't really sincere seekers. They're not really, it's not a thing that they're looking to bring application. They just want to cause confusion and frustration. And so we need discernment and wisdom to know what to do in those kind of situations. And perhaps there's someone here in that place. You answer this question, you answer that question, and God has been answering your questions. And it's not any longer a problem with the information because you have it. You've got it down as far as religion goes, like the Pharisees did, like the teachers of the law did. But you know what? You're not wise enough to move past that. These guys were wise. They moved past that. They went based on the biblical information and put it into action and traveled the distance. You see, we don't have to travel that far to find Christ. You see, Paul in Romans 10 verse 6 says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith we are proclaiming. God's not far from any one of us. You don't have to go on any journey or pilgrimage or distance. You can call upon the name of the Lord right now at this moment and be saved. Some of you, He's not far at all. In fact, He's knocking on the door of some of your hearts this morning. Been quite a few Christmases that you've been listening to Bible studies. You've been going through some recent difficulties and you've come here today because, things aren't going well or you're just bored with life, you see. And so I want to break the routine of my normal weekend in Las Vegas and I'm going to church because it's Christmas. Welcome. We're glad you're here. We're blessed that you're here. And we want you to be welcome here. But I want you to know that, you know what? You need to respond to the information that God has given you, because religion won't do it for you. You got to move out of that place of complacency, like these wise men, and engage in some activity. Oh, what is that, Pastor? Well, the third and final thing that we see they do, not only were they wise enough to leave that familiar location and to seek out a biblical information, but they were wise enough that upon finding Jesus Christ, they bowed in adoration. They bowed in adoration and expressed their appreciation. You see, some people are seeking truth, but when they find it, they don't want to embrace it. They're always learning, as 2 Timothy 3:7 says, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Some people simply love unbelief. And they seek to accumulate more and more knowledge. And there are those people who I know who can expound things theologically, but the reality is they're not engaged in any kind of real worship. They're not engaged in any kind of real serving activity for the Lord. You see, have you found Jesus this morning? The point of the story of Christmas, after all, it's not that we might be entertained, but enlightened. That we might find the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. That we might have eternal life. That we might take this gift that God has given to us, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, and offer up to Him our gifts. You see, that comes, however, from, as did these wise men, a determination. You see, in order to find Him, you need to determine in advance that as soon as you find Him, you will worship Him and give yourself to Him and not hold anything back. You see, as you gain that information, if you don't respond by adoration and submission to Him, then guess what? Your heart just gets a little harder and a little harder and a little harder until pretty soon you don't hear God calling anymore. Maybe some of you are in that place today. You know, you used to sit in church and man, there was time where you'd really feel a tug on your heart and you really felt like this is right and I need to do something, but you put it off, you put it off, you put it off until today you're sitting here and you just barely can hear anymore. You just barely have any kind of tug on your heart anymore. You can sit through a whole church service, you can sit through the worship, you can sit through the Bible study, and you know what? It doesn't impact you, if at all, minimally. Because you've successfully, over the time, just made things, just hardened your heart, got a bigger callus on it, year after year. You see, you've got to determine that once you have the right information, that you'll take action. You need to pray and ask Christ to open your heart, to soften your hardness, to make you pliable and moldable, to bring you into that place of worship and submission to Him. You need to follow Jesus, not on your terms, but on His terms. And the Bible says if you seek Him, you'll find Him. That's the great thing about Jesus, isn't it? I mean, these wise men, how did He come to them? We know that He used a star, something they were looking at, to guide them. And they were searching it out, and it brought them to Jesus. The shepherds, they were not the elite. They were on the other end of the scale. They were the outcasts. If these men, the wise men, were in places of prestige and authority, the shepherds were on the other end of the scale, and they were the outcasts frequently of society, not involved politically at all, and just kind of out there tending the sheep. Yes, they were religious men, but you see, these shepherds, Jesus, well, he sends the angels to them, God does, doesn't he? And they begin to sing. And they tell them of the good news. You see, God will meet you where you are. I love that about the Lord. He'll meet you right where you're at. I think of Nicodemus, a religious leader who was kind of a coward. How do I know he was a coward? Because he came. He wanted to hear about Jesus. He was the kind of guy that hung out with the rest of the Pharisees. And he listened on. And the others were going, yeah, well, what about this? What about that? And he's listening on. And outside, he's looking all hard and cool and happening. And like, yeah, that's right. That's right. But on the inside, he's going, you know what, man? There's something about this Jesus guy that these guys are missing. I got to find out what's going on. So it's nighttime. And Nicodemus comes. Psst. Jesus. And you know what? The Lord meets him right where he's at. You see, I think of the woman at the well. Immoral. Immoral woman. I mean, a woman who had been married and divorced 5 times. And she was just living with a guy. Just kind of shacking up, man. Just kind of hanging out with this guy. And the Lord meets her at the well there. And he talks to her about living water and water and refreshment and the longing of her soul for love. And how these 5 failed marriages, they didn't fill what was lacking in her life. That these men couldn't fix her. He talked to her about a relationship with a living God. Giving her living water to satisfy the longing of her soul. You see, he'll meet you where you're at. Where are you at this morning in your relationship with Christ? Do you know that your sin is forgiven? Do you have that hope of heaven? You say, well, Pastor, you know, I've really made a mess of my life. And you know, I don't know if it's you know, I used to think that I could change. One time I thought that maybe my life could be different, but I didn't do anything about it. And I put it off and I put it off. And now I just think it's too late. It's not too late. It's not too late for you. You're here. You're not here by accident. You're here by appointment. If you've come in today and have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, you know what? The hope is, the message of Christmas is God loves you. He doesn't love like this group of people. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. That if you'll believe in him, you won't perish but have age abiding, everlasting, abundant life. He's offered to you that gift this morning. Here's the question. Will you open it? Will you open it? Or will you reject it? I don't know how you'd feel if you gave to somebody this particular Christmas, tomorrow maybe, or this evening, you give them this gift that you've spent a good amount of money and a lot of time and energy. And you, because you love this person, it's not one of those obligation gifts. We've given those, haven't we? But one that you're taking great pleasure and joy in giving, and you're so excited, and there's this sense of expectation and anticipation that here, I've gotten this gift out of love. I paid for it. It's cost a lot. But you know what? I know they're going to like it, and I love them, and I just want to offer it to them, and I can't wait to see then be blessed by it and receive it. And so tonight, maybe you're planning, some of you are doing that. So you get out this gift, and even now you can hardly wait. There's this anticipation, expectation. You bring it out, you set it in front of them, and they go, wow, nice gift. Open it. Why? Not time yet. Okay. You want to wait till tomorrow morning? Christmas morning? Okay, one of those traditionalists. You want to do that? Okay, fine. So tomorrow morning comes. Come down, you know, and get in front of the tree. Get the camera out, video rolling. Okay, here it is. Open it. Spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort, a lot of money. Open it. Not going to open it. Why? I don't know if it'll really change my life. I don't know if it really is going to be what I want. You know what? What if if it's closed and I have to change? And I don't want to change. If it's a cooking utensil or tool, then I have to cook and I don't want to cook. By the way, those aren't the kind of gifts to get your wife. I found that out. Not good. I mean, if you get them something else, that's okay. But here's the thing. Guys, for those of you that aren't done yet, give you a little insight. If you don't know, don't get her something she needs. Get her something she wants, okay? Just a little helping hand there. Because guys, we're going, I need one of these. But girls, it's not what they need. It's what they want, okay? You see, if they refused to open the gift, though, and refused and refused and refused, that would set up some frustration, some division, and there would be a real sense of rejection that you would feel after offering such an expensive, sought-after gift. How many of you are doing that with God? He's offered His gift. And Christmas after Christmas after Christmas is past. Now, if He takes that gift back, that gift of His love, that gift of eternal life, and you never enjoy any opportunity again, can you blame Him? No. It's your continued rejection that's the problem. It's not the gift. Wise men, they'll leave their comfortable, familiar location. Wise men, they'll be opened and teachable, their pride set aside in humility, and gather the information. What's the truth? Wise men, upon discovery, you see, will bow down in submission to God for His glory. That's the Christmas story, unwrapping the most precious gift ever given to humanity, a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price. He was born in a manger, in a place of humility, not in the palace, not in the temple, not in a place politically, not in a place religiously. He was born in a manger as a person, to walk and live among us, to show us what life abundantly is all about. And then He died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, that we might be forgiven, that we might have the hope of heaven. The greatest gift, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, nobody excluded, would do what? Believe. Now, believe doesn't mean just acknowledge He exists, because James tells us that the demons believe and they tremble. What's believe mean? Believe means to do what these wise men did, to worship Him, to bow down before Him, removing pride, removing your own deal, to come to Him as King and say, what would you have me to do? To trust in, to cling to, and rely upon Jesus Christ. Is that where you're at this morning? Have you opened God's gift to you? You see, God's design and desire is that that deadness and emptiness and bondage and slavery to sin would be removed as He takes residence within your heart. And that the true joy of the season, the true celebration, that of worship. That's the reason that He created us. He created us for worship. And that's why we'll never really find life until we find the purpose for which we were created. And the purpose is to worship Jesus. The wise men found it. Nicodemus, though delayed, found it. Fulfilled it. How about you today? If you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, today's the day. Now's the time. It's never going to get any easier. He wants to have a relationship with you. Is He your Lord? Is He your God? Have you given Him your life? Do you know that you have your sin forgiven and the hope of heaven this morning? If you don't, then you can't really enjoy Christmas and the peace that God intended. People all around say, where's the peace? Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Goodwill to men. But I don't see the peace. Where's God at? Well, it wasn't God. Oh no, peace towards men. Here's how the Greek reads, with whom God is well pleased. Who's He well pleased with? Those who have believed and received the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. It's only them that can enjoy the peace. Have you believed and received the sacrifice of God's Son? If you haven't, don't leave here today without taking advantage of this opportunity to unwrap this gift. Don't push it away. You frustrate the giver, and it can be taken forever. Today's the day. Now's the time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word and the faithful work of Your Holy Spirit to minister Your Word to our hearts. Thank You for Your love demonstrated, Lord. Not just simply stated in words, but demonstrated through the work of the cross. You finishing the sacrifice, redeeming us, taking us out of the debt of our sin, paying our debt that we had run up because of our sin on that cross. And Lord, there You said, it's finished, not something we could ever pay for, but something if we'll just believe and receive You as Lord and Savior, if we are willing to leave the place of that which is comfortable, that which is casual, and move into the place once we have received, as we have looked at the information, now moving into that place of submission. Lord, may we as believers serve You in a greater capacity. May we appreciate once again the wonder of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the wonderful things that He has done and continues to do through us and to us because of the cross. Thank You, Lord, that our sins are forgiven. Thank You that we have peace today and the hope of heaven. And this is truly a time today, as every day for us, of celebration. But God, I pray for those who have not yet entered into that place. Now they have information. Will they respond and say yes to Jesus? I pray, Lord, that You would draw many to Yourself today, that there would be not one that would leave here without knowing their sin is forgiven, without having that hope of heaven. And we'll give You the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.